Podcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 3. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
You trip coming in, what are you going to say? Good night! Now there's a whole lot of choices right there. Okay, let your moderation be known. Let his praises be shown. Show grace to your world. How is it working itself out in you? If it's in there, it's changing you. They can't see it till it can be seen. And sometimes we need to go back and apologize for having let something else fly out. And that's good too, because that's grace. Man, I'm sorry. They think you think that you're better than they are. You know, I said something 10 minutes ago, or I snapped at you at work, in the neighborhood, in the family. I'm sorry. Grace is showing them that you're big enough to say, you know what, I was wrong. And that's hard. And so as we see this, he's telling them, this is grace. If somebody's froward, if somebody's mistreating you, he says, what glory, verse 20, if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently, but if when you do well, you suffer for it and take it patiently, this is grace. Acceptable is the word grace, and thankworthy is the word grace, verses 19 and 20. What does God want? He wants you to show forth the praises of Him. And so when you see that, in verse 21, He says, for even hereunto were you called. You were called to show grace. You were called to show forth His praises. God wants it to be seen. Do you know what that means? That means sometimes behind the big picture, providence allowed your apple cart to get tipped over. Think about that for a moment. If God wants it to be seen, and sometimes the only way it can be seen is by you tripping over the carpet when you walk in, then God's going to get that grace out of there. He wants the world to see it. Now, I don't like the fact that things are hard sometimes, but at least I have enough light to know there's a bigger purpose than me. Sometimes we get so self-absorbed that we don't realize that this is a big deal down here. Because we are really, truly in the throw of things right now. We're in the midst of the fray. We've got the battle raging all around us all the time. There are people who are going to end up in a godless eternal hell if somebody doesn't throw them a lifeline. I praise God for those who were in my life who were sharing with me in my circle about Jesus. Sometimes it was through a booklet. Sometimes it was through an invitation to a service. Sometimes it was through somebody's understanding. I can see how hard that would be. Or somebody's approval. Man, you did good right there. Man, that was pretty neat. I appreciate that you did that. All those things, we become the voice of Jesus and the smile of Jesus to people through. It's hard. And if you've got a bad boss, which is similar to what we have in Master Servant, you know, you got a boss who's kind of giving you grief, you got to show them grace. Because they know they're being hard on you. Right? I find it fascinating when you see somebody in the Old Testament like Joseph, who's been thrown in a pit, he's been sold as slave, he's been made a house servant, and all the stuff that's going on in his life. And he says, you know what? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And you don't know where you're at right now. You don't know where you're at and why you're there, but you know who knows where you're at, and you know who knows why you're there. So you just trust, and that's part of grace. How is it you can sing when you're sad, they might ask? It's because Jesus is good, even when this world isn't. We go in with our eyes in our head, and we say, I expect a lot of flack down here. It can come in various sectors of my life, but I expect it. And look what he says, verse 21, for hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered. Look at this, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Well, I don't like suffering. Well, if you're following Jesus, you're going to be a fisher of men, he says in the Gospels. Here he says you're going to maybe have some suffering if you're following Jesus, because Jesus found suffering, right? Wherever he went, he was fishing, wherever he was. But then at the same time, it ended what we might call poorly from the world's perspective. Hard times, difficulty. He says, for hereunto you were called, that you should follow in his steps, who did no sin, verse 22. It wasn't his fault. Think about how this is unfolding. He's taking it to a whole new level. It's not just bad government. It's not just a hard employer. It's not just maybe a harassing soldier in the street. Remember when Jesus said, if a man compels you to go a mile, you go two. The reason he said that contextually was because the soldiers had the right to compel any average citizen to carry his gear for a mile. After that, he couldn't make him go anymore. But Rome had said the soldiers' gear can be forced upon people and they can carry it for a mile. And the reason Jesus said go two is because the witness came after the first mile was over. You might not like carrying somebody's gear, but when you say, you know, let me carry it a little longer. Sometimes I'll work with younger men, and those younger men, I'll clean their brushes. They're like, well, dude, I can do that. No, I got it. I'm cleaning their stuff. Guys, listen, you and I, we have a lot of little things we can do. We can go a little further. And he's saying Jesus did that. He washed the disciples' feet. Right? How can we find our way to follow in his steps? He said he did no sin. There was no guile in his mouth, verse 22. But he committed himself to him that judges righteously. Not my will, but yours be done, Father. If there's any way this cup can pass, it's okay to ask for the hard times to be subsiding. But no, he says, not my will, but yours. If you want me to stay here. Remember the three Hebrews? King makes an idol. He says, bow down. We can't do that. He says, if you don't bow down, I'm going to throw you into that fiery furnace. He says, listen. He says, I understand what you got going on here, King, but our God can deliver us from that fire. But even if he doesn't, we're willing to go into that fire because we serve the Lord God. God delivered them. They didn't know he was going to deliver them. He not only delivered them, he showed up in the fire. He was right there with them. And not a hair of their head was singed, and there was no smell of smoke on their body. And the only thing that came loose was the bonds on their hands and their feet as they were thrown in. Do you know sometimes you won't find Jesus as much as when you're in the crucible? That's why Paul said, I will glory in my infirmities. Because when I'm weak, he's strong. That's why Paul reminds us also, he says, the things that I count as gain, I count them as a loss. They're a detriment. The things that make me feel good about myself on this earth, they kind of cloud my mind. So I count them all as loss, as a deficit to my ability to see him. He says, I count them all as loss. Not lost, as loss. He's not grieving the loss of stuff. He's saying, I count them as loss that I may know him. And the power of his resurrection, listen, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. You see, this book is consistent. Suffering is what we were called to, and if we suffer with him, we will reign with him, we're told in another place. So there is a other side to it. But for right now, he says, I count not these sufferings on this earth to be worthy to even be compared to the glory which will be revealed within us. He says, Jesus committed himself in verse 23 to him who judges righteously. Verse 24, he bore our sins. Underline those words, bear our sins. Why? Because that is godliness. When somebody hurts you, you do what Jesus did. You absorb the consequence of their sin. Doesn't mean you get up close to them and let them hit you over and over again. There's boundaries you can draw. But the reality is that when we absorb the consequences, somebody sinned against you, you're hurt. You can be angry, just like they were in chapter 1. They were dispersed. You're in a season of heaviness right now. And God's trying to make you to realize that it's okay. And he's making you a little bit more like Jesus. But you're having a hard time. If need be. Chapter 1 says, you're in a time of heaviness, if need be. Why need be? Because God's trying to show grace to the world. You say, what does all this have to do with marriage? Well, don't you have to bear the sins of your loved one? Sometimes they do something hurtful and you have to forgive them. Well, I don't want to forgive them. They should have known better. I expect more of them. Right. Because we're all sinners, right? And when we see Jesus for who he is and ourselves for who we are, we have a little bit more ability to see that person over across the table from us as God would have us see them, right? Now, it's not easy because we do get self-absorbed, but he's saying he bore our sins. And he did. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. So godliness is to absorb the consequences and the impact of somebody else's sin sometimes. And the Bible says, love, what? Covers a multitude of sins. Yeah, you need to have each other's back. You know? I've often said the marriage should be a mutual admiration society. Your loved one is dealing with the idea that they're no good and they're a failure and they're a mess and they've disappointed God and they haven't kept up to the standard that they set for themselves. You know, it's funny how we do that. We set these standards up for ourselves and the next thing you know, we're walking around with our heads down feeling like we're condemned. Even though the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation, you know, God says, hey, calm down. There's no condemnation here. I love you. My son paid for that. You say, well, man, I'm just going to bebop down the road and act like nothing. No, you can't do that either because there is self-condemnation. When the Bible says we can fall into the condemnation and snare of the devil, there's that. The devil can laugh at you. Most of us fellas at one time had a bat in our hands and we were standing behind the plate and we had our game face on and we were looking to really do some good up there and we hit that ball right to the shortstop or whatever and he caught it and we went back all dejected or we struck out. Now the other team is going to say, ah, yeah, we got him. Way to go. Put down the next one and chide you. And you're the best guy on the team. You should have done better than that, you rascal you. Listen, the devil is not for you. He wants to condemn you. First he'll tempt you. Then he'll accuse you. Right? And after you've fallen prey to temptation, he'll accuse you. You know what you did? How can you call yourself a Christian? And then the next thing you know, you find yourself in a disposition of condemnation. You're not showing forth any praises there. Not showing any grace there. You need to come out of that mess. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us. Keep the fight going, you know? Sometimes we say, I can't fix it. I can't do anything. Fight. Continue to fight. Hate the evil. Paul said there was a war in my members. So keep fighting. Don't ever lay down. Don't ever give up. And don't rationalize anything shady in your core. Because after a while, you'll start accepting what you rationalize. And you won't feel that little earthquake anymore. Sometimes our loved one is the one who's the shady person who's got something going on. And we need to bear sins. Just like he bore our sins in his body on the tree, we need to follow in his steps. The Bible says he did it so that we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. And that doesn't mean physical healing, although ultimately we will be one day completely whole. I mean spiritually. Every wound, everything the devil throws at you, and everything he has on you, you could find yourself pretty much wrapped up in a knot. Delivered to the crazy farm, right? Wherever that may be. Sometimes we have done things that are contrary to our nature and what we feel is right. He says, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So I do that as a lead-in because grace is what God wants to see. The men have been told to submit. The men have been told to submit to bad bosses and bad government situations, bad societal situations that led them to be run out of town, lose their stuff. And so it comes to verse 1 of chapter 3, and it says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection. So he's already said the men are in subjection, Jesus was in subjection, and when it says, wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. And the word won means gained, not won, for the most part. You're looking at a woman here, now, this in this context now, we're looking at a woman who has been dealing with a man who's struggling. That was her burden. He's struggling with the government, with his master, with the losing of his goods or whatever. And he's been called to suffer, and he came home. Then he came home. Whoo! That's a good day. That's why you have a dog. Okay, does somebody yell at the dog, kick the dog, get out of my way? That way, no, you don't do that. But sometimes he's not so Christ-like in his disposition, right? He's been hurting all day. He's been struggling.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.